Welcome to this latest edition of the Who's the One podcast, where we focus on Arizona's ultra-competitive 1st Congressional District, where 6 Democratic candidates are vying to take on incumbent Congressman David Schweikert in the fall. With former Congressional nominee Anita Malik, I'm Steve Goldstein. If you've been a regular listener to Who's the One, you have heard us have a series of candidate conversations, also offering insights on fundraising and many other things, including national perspectives on this race. In this episode, we're going to do things a little bit differently, as you will hear about dog and cat preferences. That is correct. Do the candidates prefer dogs or cats? That is coming up on Who's the One right after this.
There's no right or wrong answer, yeah. Cat or dog.
Oh my gosh, have you been following me at all? Like, do you know me?
I do know the answer, but how do you have to answer it?
Well, by the way, you know I'm like the biggest animal lover in the state of Arizona at any legislative level. I have won Humane Legislator of the Year twice. Everybody knows that all the animal bills were Shaw bills, right? Like it was just the banned declaw, the puppy mills, you know, to stop people from sourcing from puppy mills. I've been in animal advocacy for 25 or 30 years, right? And so the entire animal community here in animal advocacy community here in Arizona knows me. That said, I love dogs. I have no issue with dogs whatsoever. However, I do happen to have 5 cats. I had 3. They were outdoor cats, but it was really hot in the summer, and they were looking at me the way that, you know, cats look at you, and with the head tilt and everything. And so they came inside, and they've really never left. And then my girlfriend moved in, and she's got 2 cats, and so now I do have a 5 cat household. There you go. You have it on record.
Cat or dog?
Cat.
Period. No.
Our campaign manager is a big cat person, so I would be in huge trouble if I said anything else.
There's no right or wrong answer, and I think I know your answer. Dog or cat?
Oh boy. I am a cat friend. I have 2 all black cats. My brother has a dog. I grew up with a dog. But I like to be able to sit at my desk on my couch and have my cats on me, and I think it's fantastic.
Cat or dog?
I'm a dog person.
Okay.
For the record, I would never murder a pet dog or a pet goat for that matter, unlike some potential VP candidates, you know, that are on this. Very strange, exactly.
Cat or dog?
Oh, dog. Here's another little thing. I used to show dogs, and my wife was a professional dog handler. And I'm actually the vice chairman of the Scottsdale Dog Fanciers Association. So,
are you still the vice chairman of that?
Yes. Well, for the dog, they have an annual show, and I was the vice chair of the last show. I'm a member of the Scottsdale Dog Fanciers Association Club. We have 2 poodles. I am dog, dog, dog.
Cat or dog?
Dog. I have a dog.
We'll have a whole cat story of why.
Well, I had cats. Okay, so I had cats. When I moved here in 1988, I had 2 cats. And then I met Grant, and he had 2 children. And we combined my 2 cats with his 2 kids and made a family out of the whole thing. And I love cats, but now I have a dog, and I'm both, but I have to lean in on my dog.
You gotta support the one there.
I gotta support the one who's living. Her name is Brooklyn, and I must support Brooklyn, who lives under my roof.
There you go.
Well, Anita, first of all, I'm very excited that all 6 of the candidates decided to participate when it came to dog or cat. No one sort of went, I'm not answering a question like that. They all, you know, jumped in, I think, with good spirits. So this was your idea to throw that in. Why did you think it was a fun question to have?
You know, I think it's always nice to have a fun, just personality question, just to see, to kind of break the mood of these very serious topics and just see how people respond. I've used that question over the years in business and in interviews, and just to, again, to kind of get people to loosen up and to chuckle. But also, I think it's a little bit, there's some psychology there as well, particularly running for office or applying for a job where you're going to be working with a variety of people with a variety of passions and interests and pets that they like. Yeah. And so I know I'll get some flack for that question because, yeah, you know what? There's rabbits and there's turtles and there's like all other kind of choices. So A, that's one diss against me. But I just thought it would be interesting. And I think I shared this with you kind of after we asked the question a few times, because you were like, what are you doing? I could tell in your face. I forgot who the first one was, maybe Connor. And you looked at me like I was crazy, which I am. But
thank you for saying that. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm honest. But one of the things is, you know, I've always found it interesting when people that do love animals. Now, if you just don't love animals or care for any animals, fine. But if you have had both, or you're tolerant of both, you're not allergic. I think I'm always curious when people just don't say both. They yeah. take the question so literally. Now, again, if you really just don't like one, that's different. But I feel like most of our candidates kind of are both people. So I was kind of waiting for someone, even though I said there's no right, there's no wrong answer. I think both is an interesting interesting choice in that. And, you know, thinking outside of the box of the question, showing that you kind of are open to different ideas. So you can analyze this in so many different ways. But the truth is, it's a fun question. But I did ask both my kids, and one of them said both. So
he's
going to be president one day. I'm just saying.
Well, I was going to ask you, though, is both, were the candidates afraid of saying both or one or the other, because is one more seen as a flip-flop? If you say cat to us and then somehow the campaign trail dog comes up?
Oh man, we could put out a newsletter about who said what, cat or dog, and change their answer.
Well, the one thing I liked about it, even if I made a face, was that, you know, one thing I kept saying beforehand, sort of the boilerplate thing I would say to the candidates before we did the conversations was, okay, this is not meant to be pejorative, but please try to get away from your talking points. But even with dog and cat, that was nice to, like, you can't really have some answer you've already thought of, really.
I think some of them have a little bit
one might have, yeah.
We heard some of that, right? Some could throw in some endorsements, and, you know, that's also just showing kind of skill at running. And if you've run several times, you know how to kind of almost make, or been interviewed a lot in whatever profession you have. They always say own the conversation, right? Own the interview, change that direction so that you're answering how you want. And that does make for a good candidate, which then goes back to the person that knows how to do their talking points, their messaging. So, but I thought it'd be a fun little glimpse inside of kind of the personalities of these six candidates, which we're not getting to see that much of. And, you know, we also got an email. This person thinks just like me, but I think their question was more clever. So we did get an email, and you guys, those of you that are listening, you can email us at azo1podcast@gmail.com. But we got an email that was asking us to really do some more of those, as this person said, cerebral kind of things that are like asking thoughtful questions to try to gain their personality. The example question, it was about movies, which I thought was interesting. And it was Barbenheimer Redux, regardless of which film you choose to see in the theater, which film are you more likely to watch a second time and why? So I don't know if our candidates would answer that, but that's what this voter in the district is curious about. They want to kind of see what type of personality the candidates have. So maybe we'll ask them that.
And though, as you heard, Andrew Horn prefers cats to dogs, he also went off the board a little bit. We do not want to leave this out. Andrew mentioned something other than cats and dogs as well.
I'm also an apiarist, which is a beekeeper. And I have 10,000 bees right outside. And I make some posts about it sometimes. And it's a great, fun, relaxing hobby. And they're very friendly. And I encourage people, you know, if you want to come over, Anita, Steve.
I'm thinking about all this right now. I actually was going to ask. I'd be terrified, though. So I might pass.
It's actually fairly relaxing. They're friendly bees. They're Italian honeybees. and they very rarely sting or have any problems. And you can sit next to them a foot away and just listen to their hum, listen to their buzz, and they're great friends. And it's a fun process. And absolutely, you can come over, and many people have, just to see what that's like. It's a unique thing, and absolutely, it's a lot of fun.
Anita, this may sound a little bit self-serving, but thank you for giving me the time to talk about it, as I've been doing, moderating some of the clean elections debates. And we talk a lot about the six Democratic candidates on this particular podcast on Who's the One, but this might give us a chance to talk about the Republican challengers to David Schweikert.
Of course, he wasn't there. Did you expect him to maybe show up or no?
Well, you know, no. Chris Baker, his campaign manager, I think it told AZ Central, or his longtime consultant, longtime advisor, had said, oh, Representative Schweikert was doing important things in Washington, which, I mean, sure, maybe. I mean, I can't say yes or no. I'm a little cynical about that, but I was struck by the fact that the two candidates running against him in the Republican primary, who just based on reality, I mean, what percentage could they possibly get against a well-known incumbent who's got a lot of money? But they both really made the centerpiece how much they were disappointed in David Schweikert, how he had not listened to constituents. He was not a good member of Congress. They didn't say too chicken, but they were implying he's too chicken to show up to any forums and talk to any of us.
So right, show Dave, right?
No show Dave, exactly. Yeah, that's what
I wrote that one down. Because we used to say, well, Garrett McFadden gets credit for this. We used to say, do nothing, David.
I think that would have been the next step for these candidates, because they were, I mean, when it comes down to most of our audience, I presume, is on the Democratic side. So these two candidates would have appealed to them in the first place anyway.
Right.
But I was surprised a little bit that I felt like one of them was sort of hitting Schweikert from the far right, and one was hitting Schweikert from kind of the sensible right, sort of, if we can call it that, the more traditional conservative, I'll put it that way. They were hammering him all night. I wondered, because we've talked about whether negativity in the Democratic campaign would somehow hurt the Democrat who ultimately gets the nomination. I know that Democrats feel like they have so much material on Schweikert that they actually need any more. But did you feel like there was anything coming out there the Democrats could then play up to some extent?
I mean, I think it's just something that could be noted. I don't think there was anything super, like, we haven't heard this before against Schweikert, like you said, but I think just showing, hey, look, you know, and depending on what kind of numbers these two, Kim George and Robert Mackey, get, you know, yes, I don't think they have any shot at winning here, but what if they get some decent numbers, I think that's always an argument. Look, you don't even have a mandate within your own party. People, you know, that's important. And to maybe listen, whoever the nominee is for the Dems, to understand what those kind of messaging points were that maybe would resonate with Republicans, because, you know, he's been here a long time. Schweikert's been in office a very long time. And he's never, you know, even when I ran, you would speak to Republicans and you really got the sense people weren't happy with him. And mostly it was because they didn't feel like he was doing anything. Like, what has he done for the district? What has he done for me? And that becomes very personal. So I think if you can kind of hear what some of those talking points are, it's a good lesson, maybe, of how to get those swing votes in the general. But yeah, I thought it was interesting because they both agreed with each other far more than they really debated. You're right. It was all about Schweikert. And then they would just say, oh, well, I actually, and they wouldn't just agree because they said the same thing. They would say, well, I actually agree with Ms. George, or I actually agree with Mr. Mackey. That's a good point. That was how they'd start every single answer.
Yeah, yeah.
It was almost like a panel on David Schweikert, not a debate between the two of them.
Well, and I was glad to have time at the very end. We had a minute or so left to ask them what they'd say to Schweikert if he had been there. And I can't remember exactly what Mackey was verbatim, but it was something along the lines of, hey, thanks for showing up. So they, even to the end, they were playing that up. Even that, getting attacked by his own party, might have some effect.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, use that. Again, if they get some decent numbers, a decent share of the vote, I think that's something that should be used of, like, look, he doesn't have the mandate of the Republicans. We understand why you feel like he's not producing. He's not doing anything. He's on the taxpayer dime. He's in D.C. and flying back and forth. But what has he done for you? Hey, give the Dem nominee a shot. Like, okay, you don't like it, vote it out next cycle. But, like, we need change. And I think that's the message here.
All right, Anita, I don't say this sarcastically, but this is where Anita teaches Steve about campaigns and whatnot. You have talked with me recently about a nominee fund related to CD1. And I hate to sound like someone who didn't cover politics for 25 years, but I sound like someone who didn't cover politics for 25 years when I ask, okay, what does this entail? How specific is it, and what's the aim of it?
So let me start with what a nominee fund is. It's via Act Blue, and nominee funds are set up by Act Blue for each federal race. So it's only for federal races, and so it'll be specific to the district. So in this case, they have one for Arizona's first congressional district 2024, and it is money that is given before the nominee is determined, so in the primary, and it's held in escrow with Act Blue. And then whenever the primary is over, it is all given to the winner. So you can say right now, you know what? I don't know who I'm going to support, but I'm very passionate and want to put my resources into beating David Schweikert. Great. Put money into a nominee fund with Act Blue. And then from there, they'll handle the rest when the primary is over. So one of the things you can do with this is you can create your own kind of fundraising movement around that nominee fund. There's one for each district. And this, I want to first point out that the nominee fund already exists. It's been going on. A lot of different national groups or, people that kind of rate the House races and say these are the top ones to win have some pages already out there. They're not, those pages aren't dedicated just to AZ01. They are to the five that we need to win to take control of the House, for example. So the money that somebody in Colorado donates will get split between those five races. So no one's specifically pulling into this district right now, but even without a specific pull, that fund, and I want to make this clear because this will go to whoever the nominee is, that fund's already up to $61,000. So there's already money coming in from every which way direction because this is such a highly watched, very flippable seat that we need to win. So, with all the negative campaigning that's been going on in this race, and some concern we've heard from guests of ours and in different ways, that there are six candidates, one will win, will they unify? We asked all the candidates that question, got a bit of a mixed bag with some of those answers. I've been concerned about that. I have been on the end of having really great primary opponents come out and support me, and I've been on the other end of not having that. I've also been somebody that had to support the nominee and did so and did what I needed to do. So wanted to create something that would draw money into this fund. I think it's really important. Called up some of my former primary opponents, other nominees in this district. And so today I'm excited to say we're launching a unity fund for AZ01 that will go into that Act Blue fund for this campaign. And it's myself, former nominee from 2020, Dr. Harold Tippernenny, and Garrick McFadden and Carl Gentles. So we don't have everybody on there, and I will say some of them for different reasons with their employment, different things like that. I want to make it clear. Can't do this, but everybody supports this. We all agree that we need to have unity. We'd like to help when there is a unity event, hopefully, after the primary, but this is one step. So if you are a listener, maybe you're already supporting a candidate, but you still want to give to this fund, we'd be really appreciative of that. We're going to be posting it today, starting today on social. Maybe you just haven't decided and you don't know where to put your money. Well, then put your money towards this because it will go to the nominee to fight Schweikert.
Thanks for listening to Who's the One. To get in touch with us, email az01podcast@gmail.com. That's az01podcast@gmail.com. Anita is on X at Anita Malik, and you can find me on X at Off Center Voice. And to find our past episodes, please go to Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts and search for Who's the One. Music for this podcast provided by Epidemic Sound. For former congressional nominee Anita Malik, I'm Steve Goldstein.